Azekah, and Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in a line of battle against the Philistines. Now the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley in between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs, a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Then David arose from his father to bring supplies to his brothers. And David said to the men, verse 26, and David said to the men who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" To 28. Now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why have you come down, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." Down to 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, but you are a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered him out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them. For he has defiled the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come with me. You come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with the sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." Then the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David. David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in the bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. This is the word of the Lord.
Story of David and Goliath. That's not true. All the people know that. But we will draw out a few things that perhaps we haven't entirely noticed up until now. Well, this last Thursday evening, we had the Kiev Symphony Orchestra and Chorus here for what turned out to be a profoundly moving performance. They are a ministry of Music Mission Kiev, who are also involved in feeding and caring for widows, for refugees, and for those now fleeing the violence and war in eastern Ukraine and Crimea. And during the performance in between the songs, we heard many moving testimonies of their trials and their dependence upon God in these difficult and harrowing circumstances. As Wes Jansen, who's the director, he's a Canadian, shared with us, when they reach a new place as a choir, they're traveling around all over Canada, the first thing that everyone does is try and get onto the wireless to check whether their family is alive and safe. And one very dear old lady was with them. And she had scars on her legs from sniper bullets shot at her while she was taking food and supplies to visit 400 widows that they feed, who are destitute in the neighborhood. And yet she continues to go out every day. Well, they know what it is to face a Goliath. And amongst us are many, there are people who've had times in their lives when calamity has struck. Fear and anxiety grip our souls, and we've wondered how we will make it through. Could have been the loss of a job, unexpected death of a close relative, persecution and opposition at work, financial disaster, or any number of ways in which life kind of crowds in on us and gets tough. And here I'm not talking so much about the calamities we bring on ourselves by bad decisions and unfulfilled desires that we have, but I'm talking about the external things that come in and over which we have no control and just invade our lives and challenge our faith. And we end up asking questions like, is God still with me? Does God care? How will He help me through? Well, the story of Goliath is not a parable. The Philistines were real, and the details in the story indicate that Goliath was real too. But we can nonetheless draw some very valuable lessons of life that are relevant to us today. Goliath represented a real threat, and so did the Philistines. A full-scale battle would lead to many casualties and possibly complete defeat. Fighting Goliath one-to-one would mean personal death and continue to mean then that all the Israelites would become the slaves of the Philistines. There did not seem to be a good option here, and the Israelites were justifiably afraid. They had real fear. We are told that the Philistines had gathered for war at Succo in Judah. This is well inside Israel's territory. The Philistines were along the southern coast. And Israel's response, along with Saul's, was very passive and directionless. It says, Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah. This was not an intentional thing. It was like this random, just arrive and be there because of this threat. Doesn't seem like a strong sense of control over the Israelite army. Now, as we learned last week, Saul was specifically appointed for this kind of situation. 1 Samuel 8 verses 19 and 20, the people are demanding a king and they say, there shall be a king over us, that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may lead us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Saul looked ideal for the task, because in chapter 9 verse 2 it says, and Kish had a son whose name was Saul, a handsome young man. From his shoulders upward he was taller than any of the people. Saul was bigger than anyone else in Israel. Who else was better suited to fight Goliath? But instead, says verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Fear was reasonable in the circumstances. No one could fight Goliath and win. He was 9 feet 9 inches tall. His armor weighed 125 pounds. With his helmet and his greaves on his legs, he basically was an ancient version of a tank. A huge armored colossus. No ordinary soldier could fight him and hope to win. Their fear was well founded. While this is all going on, in a galaxy far, far away, a young shepherd boy in Bethlehem is sent on an errand by his father. And the errand is to take supplies to his brothers. This is a normal and innocent and ordinary task. And when he arrived, he saw the whole situation very differently. And the very first words that David speaks in the Bible, he gives a new perspective to the story. Verse 26. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You see, David viewed the situation very differently to Saul and the Israelite army, because he knew there was a living God in Israel. And suddenly we realize the difference between a man after God's own heart, as David is described, and someone who is chosen by the people based on his outward appearance. Saul was the people's choice for king. David was God's choice. And we're going to see why as this story unfolds. Now you'll remember that all David's brothers had been overlooked, this we talked about last week, when David was anointed king by Samuel. And Samuel anointed him in front of them all. The three oldest brothers, the sons of Jesse, were mentioned by name in that story. They were not God's choice. And they are mentioned again in this story. They were with the army of Saul. And here we suddenly realize why they were not suitable as God's choice for king. The oldest son, Eliab, takes offense at David and his questions because he sees David in a very human light. And he thinks or suggests, and it's possibly certain, may have a bit of justifiability, that David's bravado and his pointed questions are simply because he wants to goad someone into fighting Goliath so that he can watch the battle. Verse 28, Eliab speaking, he says to David, I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And to be honest, he, Eliab, and his brothers, and probably some of the other soldiers hanging around, are probably a little bit embarrassed by David's question, because he and all of them lack the courage to step up and take on Goliath. And Saul, too, as we discover, is trying to bribe and entice people to step up for Israel, offering his daughter in marriage and big gold piles of gold and so on. And the problem is that this whole situation had been going on for a long time. Verse 16 says, for 40 days, the Philistine came forward and took his stand morning and evening. And that's not just an interesting fact. It's actually part of the reason, and probably a big part of the reason, why David, who's still a boy, was allowed to go out by Saul and face Goliath. I mean, clearly no one else was going to step up after 40 days. And remember that David's defeat would mean that the Israelites would be in subjection to the Philistines. The situation was not good. And verse 24 says, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. And into this context comes a young man whose whole perspective on life is different in a particular way. There is a living God in Israel. There is real fear in the camp of the Israelites. But God's anointed king, keeping in mind that the word anointed in Hebrew is Messiah, steps up to deliver Israel from this unconquerable enemy. And in this way, too, David is like his greater son, who will conquer even greater enemies, enemies of sin and death and the devil. And as David steps up to the task, there is real courage in the heart of this young shepherd, anointed to be God's king over Israel. It took real courage. The people's choice for king is as fearful and afraid as his army. God's choice for king steps up to take on this giant walking tank. So where did David's courage and confidence come from? Verses 34 to 37. David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Goliath had called the army of Israel and all of them servants of Saul as an insult. But David calls himself a servant of Saul because he's willing to serve. Again, that is just like his future descendant who will be king over an eternal kingdom. Because being willing to serve others is the very center of being a man after God's own heart. But I want us to zoom in a little bit and notice how God had prepared David for this day. He did it by sending lions and bears to attack David's flock. And importantly, the Bible does not say that each time the flock was attacked, an angel appeared to David and said, "Fear not, go after the lamb and the bear, and the Lord will be with you." David went after the lion and the bear because that was his job. He was a shepherd, and that's what shepherds do. And as he was faithful in his work and his responsibility, he discovered that God blessed him and was able to deliver him and give him victory over lions and bears. He learned of God's faithfulness through hard and terrifying experiences. He had not sat around watching TV until Goliath appeared so that he could step up for God. He was ready for Goliath because he was faithful in his daily life. And equally for us, our walk with God grows through daily faithfulness. And our faith grows as we see God at work. And one of the reasons I remain so confident about God's work here in this place is that I've seen God's faithfulness over and over again in my own life, in the lives of others, and specifically in the case of this particular piece of land and this building. Because a few years ago, we saw God intervene directly to secure our tenure on this land. It's a long story that I can't go into. But I know that because God intervened so miraculously, He has plans for building His kingdom in and through this place and this location. And I'm excited to be here, to be part of it. And I don't know if I'm going to wake up one day and see Him do a mighty work of sending some great evangelist that fills up this place, or whether it'll be just the much more common story of all of us just being faithful and doing our own little bit in our own different ways and having God orchestrate it all to achieve His purpose, not just in this building, but in this neighborhood and surrounding area. But what I do know is that I'm excited to be part of what He is doing. I pray that I'll be faithful in doing my part, and I honestly don't know if my part will be big or small. But David, based on what he had already learned in his life, had confidence in the living God of Israel, and so he wasn't afraid of Goliath. And instead of fear, he actually was outraged at this disgrace in Israel. How dare this Philistine challenge the army of the living God? And David's faith was about to result in real deliverance from God. Real deliverance. Goliath had been taunting the Israelites twice a day for more than a month. They were desperate. They were so desperate at this time, at this juncture, that they were even willing to let a young boy, untrained in war, go and take him on. But there was still more that had to be learned by these Israelites and the army and Saul. Because Saul tried to equip David in the usual way. Give him a tunic and armor and helmet and sword and all the necessary. Because he thought if David was going to go out and meet this hulking Philistine, he should at least look the part. But stepping out in faith cannot be done in the way of the world. The Apostle Paul says this to us in the New Testament, Ephesians 4 from verse 22. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And so David looks at Saul and says, verse 39, I cannot go in these. David had learned to fight lions and bears with a wooden staff and a sling. He had seen God deliver him over and over again. He could not now approach Goliath as a warrior of the world. He could only do it as he always had, in faith. And the rest of the story is the part we easily remember. David made an amazing shot with his sling. Again, probably a mix of many hours of practice and God's blessing on that shot. He knocks Goliath out, pulls his sword out, chops his head off, done. But defeating Goliath is not the only issue in this bigger story of God. God's protection and care for Israel is demonstrated by his provision in advance of an anointed one chosen to rescue his people from this crisis. And it was all about God's power, not personal strength or skill. Verse 47, this is David speaking to Goliath. He says, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all of you into our hands. God delivered Israel through David that day. But there's still more. Remember last week we noted that Samuel anointed David in Bethlehem at Jesse's home and then left. David was not whisked off to Jerusalem for a coronation. He went back to shepherding sheep. So how was God's anointed going to come to prominence in Israel and become king? Well, God set up the perfect PR gig for David. David was for sure not the only person who in that 40 days had been sent to bring supplies to family members at the front lines. After more than a month of Goliath's challenge, the whole of Israel already knew the crisis they were facing at the battle line. They were all facing subjugation to the Philistines. It was a time of national crisis. And whoever rescued Israel from the crisis would be a hero. All David had to do was be courageous and faithful. And that's what happened. The little boy, the youngest son of Jesse, who when his family was asked to produce the sons for Samuel, did not even consider him worthy of calling. Now he's front page news. When he went out to fight Goliath, David didn't even know who he was. Verse 55 and 56. So Saul watched David going out to meet the Philistine. He said to Abner, commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is that young man?" Abner replied, "As surely as you live, your majesty, I don't know." The king said, "Find out who that young man is." But David didn't fight Goliath to get into the headlines. He was there as a servant on another errand and suddenly found that it fell to him to uphold the name of the living God. No one else was willing. No one else had the faith. David's actions against Goliath were forced upon him. Not because an angel appeared to him saying, "Fear not, you shall go and fight the Philistine in the name of the Lord and will be delivered." David looked at the situation, not just the battlefield, but the state of the nation, and made a choice based on who God is. Philistines were pressing hard against Israel and were deep in their territory. They threatened to engulf them. But David, when he arrived, knew one thing that no one else seemed to understand. There was a living God in Israel. And he stepped up because of that against this insurmountable foe. And we see again, like so many stories in the Bible, that God works through the least, the weakest, the youngest, so that his glory may be made known. And every day we face the choice to step up for God in all kinds of ways, with time and money and energy and witness and love and care for those around us. And make no mistake that in the ordinary run of life, stepping out in faith is not always going to lead to fame and glory. No one ever knew about the fact that David killed lions and bears, protecting his sheep. But each step of faith, for him and for us, will draw us deeper into God, and we will see God work in our lives. There's some important lessons in all of this for us. There are times when we'll face crises like the choristers and musicians of Music Mission Kiev that were here last Thursday. But often, life just goes on too. They currently face real fear, and we will face times of crisis in our lives. And when we live faithfully every day, we will see God at work, and our faith is built up. And then we will handle the next crisis in a way that even more glorifies God. David had real courage. I was going to say real faith, but we tend to think faith is just something out there. Courage sounds more like something we have to bring to the party. And his courage came from his daily life of faithfulness. He saw things from the perspective of a living God in Israel. And when we do that, each day becomes an adventure and each challenge is an opportunity. And David and the people of Israel saw real deliverance. When we step up, as when David stepped up, we will see God work in power. God will act. God will provide. God will be with us. As the writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. This was what David did as he joined God in defeating Goliath and the Philistines. Let us pray. Lord our God, you know just how important it is for us that we walk daily with you. It is the way for us to live in your power and to see you at work. And so, Lord, we pray that you will make us like David. You will build in us an absolute assurance that there is a living God in Israel. And from that, we will orient our lives and gird up our courage and step out boldly for you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Prayers to the people. I'm going to start with Psalm 34, verse 10. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. You turn to your service sheets and read with me.
One thing I have asked the Lord,
that I may dwell in the house.